Well, you know what? We're wrapping up our series that we've been dealing with called The Trail Guide. To be honest, I hate to end this series. To me, this is easily one of the most important issues that needs to be addressed in our lives. Easily, this has one of the most important things that we've got to learn as Christ followers. And I think many people live in a way that they ignore and they misunderstand the Holy Spirit and its role and the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. And so what we do is we just kind of, because we don't understand, maybe we don't pursue a relationship or to know just what God, how God wants to use the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's a lot easier to just ignore it. Hope that everything works out. Trust that God knows what's going on in our lives, and you know what? He'll work all the details out. But truth is we really need to assess this for ourselves. We need to really, really understand and know this. In fact, we'll start off with a fill-in, and it's this. The Holy Spirit is not a presence to be feared. He is a person to be known. The Holy Spirit is not a presence to be feared. He's a person to be known. God never designed you to do life alone. He created you to live in a relationship with himself and with people. So it's from that relationship that the Holy Spirit is God's presence with us. God wants to be involved in your daily life. I just think there's many times in our lives where it would benefit us to have some kind of a sign, to have some sense of direction, to have some sense of clarity in our lives that we, because we need wisdom and we need guidance and we need confirmation. And as I've said, we need assurance that maybe we're going in the right direction, that we're doing exactly or what we feel like God wants us to do. That's what the Holy Spirit's role is in our lives. And without Him, without any type of relationship with the Holy Spirit, we just kind of figure it out as we go. God becomes a distant deity rather than a personal relationship that we have in our lives. So life has many dangers and it has many obstacles, and we can find ourselves unintentionally headed in a wrong direction or being lost just because of wrong choices. And I've made this comparison that I want to continue, that if you're out backpacking or if you're hunting, it's real easy to not know the conditions of the terrain that you're going into. And if you want the very best outcome for your time in the backcountry, they say that you have to have a map and you have to have a trail guide. You have to have somebody that knows the terrain. They know where they're leading you. And that's exactly who the Holy Spirit is. The Bible is our roadmap. And the Holy Spirit is your trail guide. He knows what's coming. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what you need to hear. He knows that you need what provisions you're going to need. Just like a trail guide would, the Holy Spirit is there for you. So you might know the 23rd Psalms, and maybe you have that memorized, but I want to read just the first four verses. I want you to understand and just hear it all throughout the Bible of God's presence and God leading and guiding us, and even through His Spirit. First verse says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Then it says what? "He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for His namesake." Then you keep going, you go down to verse 4, it says, "Even when you walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way." The issue is God is with us. The Holy Spirit, this trail guide, is with you everywhere you go. That is a source of comfort that we need. If we feel like we're all alone, guys, we easily get discouraged and give up. All through Scripture, God has led people, those people that are His. People that are in relationship, people that belong to Him, God has always led them. You remember the Israelites, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and God provided for them, Scripture talks about, a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, because He wanted to provide the guidance that they were going to need. I don't know. I mean, my mind goes in a different place. I'm glad. I know and I trust God's presence, but I kind of have a Monty Python look at that. You know, I can imagine what would happen on a cloudy day when the cloud leads them and it's a cloudy day. I can just hear all of them in their British accents, even though they're Israelis, that they would, oh, it's that way. No, it's this cloud. No, it's that cloud. But that's another story for another time. One of the things that I hope that we walk away with from this series is that you will completely trust and get to know the trail guide that God has provided for you. That you'll not be afraid of Him. You'll not ignore Him. But that you will completely trust and seek him out. Last week we mentioned this, that it's essential for every Christ follower to know the Spirit's voice and to follow his lead. It's essential, not just a good idea. It is essential. Because if we're going to have a God-directed life, if we're going to have a God-generated life, a Spirit-generated life, rather than a self-generated life, then we have to be engaged with the Holy Spirit in our lives. So it's necessary to know his voice and follow his lead if we're going to be able to do what we're looking at today. Because here's what the Holy Spirit can do for you. And this is what I hope that you, this is the life that God wants you and I to live, okay? This is what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. That your life can be fulfilling and joyful regardless of what's going on. That you can actually live without fear, even though times are uncertain. That you can be confident that God is with you at every step of your life. You can actually be hopeful for the future. You can have peace in times of uncertainty. You can have joy in times of trouble. You can have courage and strength whenever you need it. You can actually live with encouragement and not be discouraged regardless of what you're facing. You can have love and forgiveness. You can live without your emotions controlling your life, and you can live with purpose and passion rather than according to your feelings. I mean, how do we live like that? That's what I want us to look at. My parents and Cynthia's parents, we were talking about this week, our parents, they're not perfect people, and they'd be the first to tell you that. But the good thing about them, or one of the good things I should say, there's a lot of good things, is they have followed God for 75 plus years. That's a long time. That means, one, they're really old people. But the other side of it is they really know the voice of God. They really know God's character. And because of their history of walking with God and knowing God, they live like what I just read. It's not perfect, but you know what? They are people of strength. They're people of character. They're people that you know and you see God's Spirit dwelling within them. You might have someone in your life that knows God like that too. Maybe it's you. Hopefully it's you. But when we face a challenge, the first thing my parents think of is God is going to take care of this. We're going to give it to God. They don't try to fix it themselves. That's the very first thing that they go to. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I struggled with this a lot. My spiritual life was like a roller coaster. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you have ups and downs. You're passionate one day and not so passionate the next. You're all in one week, and then the next week you're not all in, you're half in. You love to read your Bible one week, and then today you don't have time to read your Bible. It was just kind of a roller coaster, you know? I had no spiritual strength and stability. I've always looked at it this way when I was younger, that I was on a spiritual roller coaster of highs and lows, and my parents were on the monorail. If you've ever been to Disneyland, you know it's that thing that goes around Disneyland, and it's just even keel. You know, there's not this high and low stuff. They're just riding consistent. Well, I'd moved to Memphis, Tennessee, and lived there for a year, and while I was there, I was going to a church, and I met this couple, and they were a lot like my parents, and they were doing the college group, and I was kind of that age, and so I talked to them, and I said, you know, I really struggle with this. I want to get off the roller coaster. How do I get off the roller coaster? And their answer was so simple that I've never forgotten it, but they said this: you have to decide to live by the Spirit. You can't just live as you want to live. You can't live by your emotions anymore. It comes to a point, Dave, where you have to decide that your spiritual life is going to be lived by the Spirit. Here's what I was doing is what I think a lot of people do. So I'm not at all pointing fingers of fault. What I'm saying is I think that we need to address this in ourselves if it's true. What I was doing is this, you know, I surrender my life to Jesus. I wanted to be in relationship with him. And so what I did is I brought God into my current lifestyle. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's like I had a lifestyle that I was living before I met God. Before I had a relationship with Jesus, I had this lifestyle. And then I met Jesus, and after I met Jesus, I continued the same lifestyle. So in other words, and I'm not proud of this, but I'm just saying, you know, I would still smoke weed and go to church. I would do what I always did and go to church. I went to church, but I continued to have attitudes towards people, and I continued to get into fights and stuff like that, like I always had done. Nothing. Here's the thing. Nothing changed in me except that I went to church. And that's what religion is. It's dead. That's why I was on the roller coaster. What this couple was telling me is this, and this is a feeling, you can write it down. They were saying the key to a spirit, to the spirit being your source of life, is dying to yourself every day. The key to the spirit being the source of your spiritual life is dying to yourself every day. So we need to start off with something important as we address this, being filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? What does that look like? Here's what the scripture says. It's found in Ephesians 5:18. It says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what the scripture is saying, that a person that is filled with wine is under the influence and control of the wine. Don't be controlled by the alcohol. Instead, and this is the fill-in, be under the Spirit's control and influence. That's your choice. You have to choose. Are you going to be under the Spirit's control and influence? Just like a person who might drink and that the alcohol, they're under the control and influence of that alcohol. God says, don't do that. Let my Spirit control and influence your life. So we've talked about this. The Holy Spirit comes in when we surrender our hearts and lives to Jesus. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. But this is another important point. The Spirit-filled life is a daily event. It's not a one-time thing. And I think a lot of people feel like, you know what? I prayed this prayer and I talked to God and I know that the Holy Spirit lives in me, so that's good enough. It's not a one-time event. This is a daily event. It's something that is ongoing in your life. To allow yourself to be influenced and controlled by the Spirit. That is an important. Acts 13 says this, the disciples, which is us too, but the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit, continually, not just a one-time thing. It didn't just happen once and then they go like, oh, you know what, we'll move on and we'll do something else. This was a relationship that they sought to be under the Spirit's control and influence. See, if you're not controlled, if we're not controlled and influenced by the Spirit, then we are controlled and influenced by ourselves. We are the ones that are deciding what to do. We're the ones that are deciding what's important. This is an ongoing process. It's letting go of our frustrations, letting go of our disappointments, letting go of our fears, not holding on to them, just letting them go. They don't matter. It's continually throughout the day looking to God and recognizing that God has established my day today. It's just like this morning, you know. Let me just tell you how it works with me, okay? So this morning, I find out that the ice machine over here is broken. That may not be a big deal to anybody else, but I'm like, good night. It's always something. So I'm sitting there, I'm trying to figure this out and trying to work with this, and God just said, you know what, Dave, just let it go. You're not going to get it fixed. Just let it go. Let's just focus on me. Because you know what, I could get worked up and I get frustrated and I could, all that if I keep thinking about that, but I had to say, God, you knew this would happen today, so I'm just going to let it go. I want to be controlled and influenced by your Spirit today. I don't want to be controlled and influenced by frustration. See, being filled with the Spirit, it allows us to process life through the lens of faith. That's an important thing. It's not just that we have faith. It's how do you process life? Do you process it through this lens of faith that God can do what God wants to do in your life, and that you're allowing him to do that. I don't have to worry about an agenda. I want God's agenda to be carried out in my life. So the reason this is important is because God's Spirit wants to empower you for the daily challenges that you're going to face. Now here's what I think what happens with us. It's not that we're just not too sure that God's going to empower us to do what he's asked us to do, so we stay away from what he asks us to stay away from, or what he asks us to do. We feel like, oh, I can't really do that. And you know what? We're all right. You can't. We need the Holy Spirit's power to do what he's asked us to do. But because we're not really sure, we're like, you know what? I'll just stay away from that. That's not, what do we say? That's not my gift. But the scripture is really clear that we're supposed to be witnesses, right? I'm not saying this to put any guilt on anyone. When's the last time you shared your faith? It's probably been a while. Not because you're a bad person. It's because we don't live in this empowering mode where we're controlled and influenced by the Spirit. The Spirit-filled life empowers us, first of all, to experience spiritual life. And we've talked about that. that the spiritual life comes from God. It doesn't come from us. Spirit-filled life also empowers us to help us grow as a Christian so we don't stay the same. We're not supposed to stay as we are. We're supposed to grow and develop. Character grows in our lives. Faith grows in our lives. Spirit-filled life empowers us to help us share our faith, as I mentioned. You remember that in Pentecost, when they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke the Word of God boldly. They shared their faith with other people. It also helps us live for Christ, to make Him a priority. It also gives us strength when we're weak. And the Spirit-filled life empowers us to give us hope in a hopeless world. Gosh, there's so many things. And when you hear of all these benefits, you think, why wouldn't people seek out a Spirit-filled life? I think, if I can be honest, I think that it's not that we don't want it. I think that there are barriers that we face. And so I just want to look at a few of those. I think that there are some barriers to a Spirit-filled life that prevent us from really engaging and living this life that is under the Spirit's influence. And that is this: when our feelings run our lives. You can't be under control of the Spirit and our attitudes. We can't. Frustrations, anger, fear, pride, whatever it might be, a lot of people allow their emotions to control them, how they feel. And what ends up happening is we become inconsistent because our emotions change. We become unstable and unproductive. And I think it's one of the greatest attacks that Christ followers face, you know, is we don't have control of our emotions a lot of times. And we refuse to die to ourselves. I'll tell you, negative emotions will suck the life out of you. They really will. Because bitterness just tends to suck the joy away. Another barrier to a Spirit-filled life is the cares and distractions of this world. We all know how prevalent they are. We all know that they're around us. It's part of life. Every day is filled with distractions. Things that take our attention away from what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit wants in our lives, what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. And it could be demands, and it could be worries or anxieties. It could be struggles or even pursuits that we misengage in. The cares of this life can control you. But we know 1 Peter tells us, cast all of your cares on Him because He cares for you. That allows us to let go. I think another barrier is fear of not having control. There's a lot of us that we just like to have control in our lives, and we just don't want. And I don't think it's a certain group of people. I think it's our human nature to want control. And so we have to let that go. I mean, if we're ever going to live under the Spirit's control, then we can't be in control ourselves. Following Christ or being influenced by the Spirit happens when we surrender ourselves to His purpose and His plans. And that means we're not in control. So I think there comes a point where we have to relinquish control in our lives so that God can have complete control. So how do you experience a Spirit-filled life? I alluded to this a little bit ago, but it's this. You must continually die to yourself. We have to continually die to ourselves, to our desires, our passions, whatever they are in our lives. We've got to die to that. The things that I want to do that I'm not really willing to give up, things that I think are too important to give up. Galatians 5 says this, Paul writes, he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We can't follow the Spirit's leading if our passions and our desires have not been nailed to the cross of Christ. That means we die to ourselves. And this isn't a one-time thing. I mean, this is a daily thing, I think. We have to come to terms with this. That every day I've got to surrender myself to the Holy Spirit and what He's asking me to do. Because you know what? What the Holy Spirit is asking me to do today may not be what He's asking me to do tomorrow. But I have to be in tune to that. We want God's will. We want God's big picture for our lives. But God's will is discovered new and fresh every day. It's not something that we get one time and then it's good for all of life. You discover God's will today, and you discover God's will tomorrow, because He's leading you in new ways, to new places, to speak, to do things that maybe you've not done. So I have to choose to make my life about Jesus today. And I choose to not be in control today. I choose to be under God's control and God's influence. And I want to allow Him to direct my life. I want Him to live through me. Galatians 2, Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ, And I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the real life that I now have within this body is a result of my trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's where we're at. It really is that simple. We just get ourselves into problems when we think, you know, that we can generate spiritual life by coming to church. It's really, we generate spiritual life and we experience this life generated by the Spirit when we die to ourselves and say, okay, God, you're in control. We surrender ourselves to God's will. Paul writes in Galatians 5, he says this, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. What will happen? Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, he says, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on, he says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Here's what he's saying in this, and I want you to write this down because I think these are important. We've got to be aware that it's a nasty list that seeks to control us. Our human nature, it's a nasty list of things that seek to control you. You might listen to that and just hear like the big things, sexual immorality and impurities, but it's outbursts of anger, it's drunkenness, it's quarreling, it's jealousy. See, there's just this nasty list that always will be at war that seeks to control us if we allow it. Another thing we got to understand is this, God's kingdom requires God's control. If you want to be a part of God's kingdom, it requires God's control in your life. Not your control, not self-will. This is about God's will and God's control. We also have to look for the fruit of the Spirit-controlled life. Look for the fruit of a Spirit-controlled life. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to produce in you. That long list of things that I was talking about earlier that said, you know, that this is the life that God wants us to have, that's produced by the Spirit. And that's what he's trying to, but we have to work with him. It's not just like hocus pocus and it shows up and then, you know, we're all happy because we have to work with him to trust him in that process. Here's the last one. If we're going to apply this, we've got to die to ourselves daily. Dying to myself is a daily activity. It's not something that just happens once and then we move on. Every single one of us are called to bear our own cross and to follow Christ. And I would say this, we'll experience a Spirit-filled life when the cross is our daily activity. When dying to ourselves is a daily activity, that's when we'll experience a Spirit-filled life. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would one more time. I just want to pray for us. I want to pray for you. There is no relationship with the Holy Spirit without relationship with Jesus. And I know that you might know that, but I want to remind you that God wants relationship with you more than anything. And it's out of that relationship that we have with him that his Spirit comes, dwells inside of us, and fills us and provides us with the peace and the assurance, the love, the joy, all the things that we need to live out the life that God wants us to live. That's what the Holy Spirit's producing in you, if we let him. But we've got to surrender to him. We don't bring God into our activities. We allow God to change our life by dying to ourselves. So, Father, it's from that place today that we all approach you with faith, and we ask that you would help us to die to ourselves, that you would lead us in that process of just every day, the passions and the things that we think are important, the things that are a part of our lives that we let them go. They're no longer a part of what you are trying to build in us. Father, I ask today that every single one of us that are here can take the passions of our natural life today, our desires, our agendas, and we can, in theory, nail them to your cross so that we can actually live for your purpose in our lives. We die to what we think is important so that we can live to what you say is important. Father, may that be our daily experience. May we get up tomorrow. May we walk out of here today with a different purpose because we're under your influence and your control. This is what This is the life you called us to live. Help us to be in touch with your leading and your guiding in our lives, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.